Let me go ahead and before we dive in, let me go ahead and ask if you're able to, those who are able to go ahead and stand up either way, if you would turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, today I am choosing to notice the good, and I'm starting with you. Let me go ahead. Speaking of noticing the good, I see a lot of good here in the form of young ones, and so let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest for Children's Church. For the rest of us, as we head to Thanksgiving this week, I think it might be good for us to just to pause today, kind of come through the Sermon on the Mount. Next week begins Advent season, and so we'll step into Advent. But for today, I think it might just be good to remember that our holiday was born not simply from a moment in American history, there is that, but was born from a much more ancient story, a story that understands the human heart bends easily toward complaint and criticism. The human heart bends easily toward grievance and grumbling. Right? The gratitude, oftentimes, gratitude is not our default setting. Right? But it's something that we need to practice. Right, gratitude is a practice to be cultivated, and which is why maybe why when we hear the simplest of expressions of thankfulness, of thanksgiving, we often feel joy, like this one from Lucas, who says, "I am thankful for naps, and for mommy taking them so I can watch my favorite shows." Or how about Emma? From Emma, she says, "I am thankful for my brother," which is so sweet, "mostly when he's asleep." This one from Gabriel, "I am thankful for," he says, "my dog, even though he licks my toes without asking." Or Logan, "I am thankful for," he says, "mac and cheese, because it understands me." And then we can't leave out sweet Olivia, who says, "I am thankful for cookies, because sometimes I need a hug in my mouth." Very sweet. It is in these simple and yet even silliest of expressions that I think we are reminded that gratitude is not about perfection, it is about attention. Gratitude is about attention, about paying attention. Right? A practice to be cultivated. Because again, far too often, right? It's not our first response. It wasn't my first response when I was driving in again this morning and someone was tailgating me most of the way. In fact, I went back in Sermon on the Mount. I was all sorts of labels that I'm like, right? Gratitude was not on my... The fortunate thing is my drive is long enough that I have lots of time to repent. So... Just so you know, we're clear, I spent some time repenting. But it's not about perfection, right? It's about attention, right? About paying attention. This practice to be cultivated, right? Because it's not our first response. It's not our default setting. And that's not only true for us, but it's true for those long ago. The year is around 1400 BC. The Israelites are standing at the edge of the Promised Land. They are no longer enslaved, but not yet settled. And it's here we pick up Deuteronomy 7 and 12, again, what is part of the Jesus backstory. the Torah, Jesus, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Jesus did not come to do away with the Torah, right? He did not come to abolish, get rid of, he came to fulfill, to show us the deeper meaning, to reveal, to express the heart of God. And it's here in Deuteronomy 7 and 12, it says, we read, page 131, if you're grabbing a pew Bible, the words will be on the screen behind me. We read there, Vehayah, which translates, and it shall come to pass, Akev, meaning as a result or because. And so it shall come to pass as a result or because, Tishmeun, meaning to hear or to listen or to pay attention. Et ha-mishpatim ha-eleg, to these laws, yushar martem va'asitem otam, and keep them and do them. So we have hearing, we have keeping, we have doing, which is all the language of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Not only being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Vishimar Adonai Elohecha Leha, then we'll keep the Lord your God with you, et ha-berit ve'et ha-hased, his covenant of love. Noting it is this covenant of love that now flows most notably in the form of gratitude. From chapter 8 and verse 12, dropping down just a little ways, it says, noting over and over again, we read of this calling to be a people who pay attention. It says, when you have eaten and been satisfied and have built the houses, built fine houses and lived in them, when your herds and flocks have grown abundant and your silver and gold is multiplied and all you have has multiplied, your heart may become proud. And it says, forgetting what is exactly not paying attention, right? Forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then verse 17, you might say to yourself, my power, the strength of my own hand have brought me this great wealth. But, and here we have, remember, vezaharta in the Hebrew. Vezaharta means to remember or to pay attention. It's this idea of to pay attention. It also has with it this idea of to make known, as in to express or to declare. And so we read, Vezaharta, pay attention, make known, express the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to do great things, upholding the covenant. Again, what is this covenant of love? It says that he swore to your ancestors. And so Moses says here, and it's all throughout, he says, remember, Vezaharta, right? To pay attention and to express, right? To make known. All of which gathers up this ancient Jewish understanding of what is Hakarat Hatov. Hakarat Hatov is often translated as gratitude. It is a midah in Judaism, meaning it is a quality that is to be cultivated. Most often translated gratitude, it holds that idea of paying attention, to pay attention. A literal translation is noticing the good. Is noticing the good. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, as he puts it, Hakarat HaTov is at the heart of what Moses had to say about the Israelites and their future in the promised land. And that is because in large part, if you remember through our journey, right, over and over again, the Israelites are complaining. Exodus 15, 16, 17, you can go back and read, but over and over again, they're complaining, they're grumbling, right, about their situation, about their circumstances, about the journey, complaint after complaint, grumble after grumble. What is exactly not Vezaharta? What is exactly not gratitude? What is exactly not noticing the good? Hakarat HaTov. He goes on, gratitude had not been their strong point in the desert. The worst thing that could happen to them would be that they forgot. Which is kind of why all through Judaism, interesting, the whole backstory of Jesus is this idea of a practice to be cultivated. All throughout Jewish faith is this practice of what would be Hakarat HaTov. We see it in what is called the Moda Ani, which is a prayer in Judaism that is prayed each and every morning. It's a simple prayer. It's a quick prayer. But it's said just upon waking, you say the Moda Ani. Not to mention the Birchot HaShahar, the dawn blessings, what is a litany of gratitude. It's a litany of thankfulness, of gratitude. Everything from your clothing, your eyesight, that I'm standing right now, that I had a good night's sleep. Not to mention the Amidah. And if you remember, it was about 4 years ago, we went through the whole of the Amidah and connected that with Jesus. But the Amidah, it's interesting here, again from Rabbi Sachs, he notes this: when the leader of prayer repeats the Amidah aloud, we are usually silent with one exception. When the leader says, Modim anaknu lach, translated, we give thanks. Modim means we give thanks, giving thanks. Thanks to you. The congregation says a parallel passage known as Modim de Rabbanan. And that's contrasted with, as he goes on here, for every other blessing of the Amidah, it is enough to assent to the words of blessing by saying Amen in Hebrew. The one exception is Modim, giving thanks. We cannot delegate this to someone else. Thanks must come directly from us. Thanks must come directly from us. And we see that. That idea of Hakarat HaTov, that idea of Modim, of giving thanks, it's all through the life and the teachings of Jesus, Matthew 15 and 36. Then he took the 7 loaves. This is it in what the kind of the caption is, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus, he's up on the mountainside. There are people. He is teaching. He is healing. The compassionate Jesus, he recognizes that the people are hungry. And it says he then took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, right? Modim. Hakarat HaTov. Right? Noticing the good. It says he broke them and gave them. John 11:41, this is at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus. They took away the stone. Jesus looks up. Father, I thank you. Modim. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. 22:17 in Luke, Jesus is now with his disciples. He takes the cup, he takes the bread, and he gives thanks. Modim. Modim, gratitude, right? Hakarat HaTov, noticing the good. And not only Jesus, but his disciples. Flows down to his disciples. Peter, 1 Peter 1 and 3, let us praise. And we can think here of Modim, of offering our thankfulness, our gratitude, right, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy he has given us, and notice the good here, he has given us new life. Colossians, Paul's letter to followers of Jesus in Colossae 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and Modim. Giving thanks. Be giving thanks. Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Rejoice always, pray continually, and Modim, right? Give thanks for we're in everything, right? Noticing the good. And why would we do that? Well, it says, for this is God's will. This is God's will. Modim, Hakarat HaTov. It is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It was back in 2001 when the Journal of Social Psychology did this fascinating study, 700 nuns, ages of 75 up to like 102, Sisters of Notre Dame here in the U.S. And what was sort of fascinating about this was that each of these nuns, all 700 nuns, at some point had written their life story as well as their reason for entering into the convent. And because each one of them had lived a similar lifestyle, researchers were able to devise this coding system that measured the connection, the relationship between emotional attitudes and one's health. Noting it showed a correlation between one's positivity. And we can think again, Hakarat HaTov, right? Noticing the good, expressing your gratitude. Correlation between one's positivity and the length and quality of one's life. add to that from the Dr. Brent Atkinson, professor of marriage and family therapy. He says when people share positive emotions like gratitude, with each other, scans show their brains sync up and show similar activity. He goes on to say it increases our capacity for love, our capacity for connection. Right? So meaning my thankfulness is not just my thankfulness. My expression of gratitude is not just my. Right? My thankfulness is not just mine, it's ours together. I think it's something that Moses understood. In fact, in Judaism, it's interesting, there's a long-held tradition of naming 100 moments of gratitude every day. Naming 100. In fact, modim meaning we give thanks or giving thanks, it holds a numerical value of 100. But it's this long Jewish tradition of 100 moments each day, right? Because again, this is a practice. This is a practice to be cultivated, right? This isn't an occasional one-off. Gratitude is not an occasional one-off. It's to be an intentional naming and an intentional noticing the good that is right here in this room. And so what I want to do today is I'm going to go ahead and stop, and before the worship team comes back up, and I want to take a few moments for us to do this together and to notice the good together, to practice Hakarat HaTov, right? To name, to notice and to name and to express. Now, I'm not asking you to share 100, but certainly we have one or two or three, right? And so really the question for us, for what or for whom do you give thanks today? And so in just a moment, Shane will come up and get the microphone and he will bring it to you. And so I want to invite you to stand up wherever you are or raise your hand and he'll bring the microphone to you. This is not a mandatory, you don't have to, but can you imagine our brains syncing up together with gratitude? Increasing our capacity for love. We could phrase it this way. We could say, where is God inviting me to notice and express the good? For what or for whom do you give thanks today? Where is God inviting me, inviting us to notice and express the good? And then just one I want you to be able to take into your week. And so to consider where, when, and with whom will I practice Hakarat HaTov this week? To be intentional, right? Gratitude is not just a one-off that happens here and there, but it's to be something intentional. And so Shane, if you want to come up and grab the microphone, we'll sit for a few moments in stillness. If you, Lord would lead you to stand up and or to raise your hand and he'll come to you and let's share our gratitude together.